Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally Alcorti, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my guest is Dee Nicholson, and she is going to be talking about the root of all evil. The root of all evil. Okay, I'll pick her up now. Thank you, Eileen Daneman, for introducing me to Dee Nicholson. Now, where do I... And Eileen Daneman is with the Vaccine Liberation Army, where you can get stickers and car magnets.
I have them.
Yeah, they're, oh boy, do I ever. I've got more stickers than you name it from Eileen Daneman and her VaccineLiberationArmy.com. But anyway, thank you for being patient while I tried to gain access to this program. And we have so much to talk about. I'm just going to ask you, Dee Nicholson, to embark on the first issue, and there are so many others we would also like to discuss, that, you know, you're going to talk about the root of all evil, and then we're going to talk about the evils that have generated as a result. So go for it, Dee Nicholson.
Oh, boy. Talk about a can of worms that you can open from the bottom, the top, or the middle, and you're shocked wherever you open it up. Thanks to you, and I have to thank you in advance for sending me a link to an interview you did recently with Dr. Vera Schubner, who has done a lot of research into the statistical analysis of what's going on with our kids and vaccines. Now, many of you may have noticed over the last few days there was an article that came out on Natural News. And this was the publication of a study funded by the Alberta, Canada Ministry of Health, published in the Vaccine Science Journal. And it found that nearly 10% of Canadian girls end up in emergency rooms following a Gardasil vaccine. And then the vaccine researchers, funded by the Alberta Ministry of Health, declared this emergency visitation rate to be low and consistent with those seen elsewhere. So you've got 10%, that's 1 in 10 girls taking one particular vaccine, winding up in the ER within 6 weeks of getting the shot. Now, we Canadians, we're tough folks. We don't usually run to the emergency because we have a pimple. You know, so when you're talking emergency, you're talking about serious illness following one particular vaccine. And then for the Alberta Ministry itself to reiterate that this is a low rate in comparison with other vaccines, what does that mean? That means that 10% of our kids minimum, because we know that a lot of adverse events are not reported, don't wind up at the doctor's office, don't wind up in the ER, but they are emergencies, but people pass them off because they can't see the relationship. Well, Dr. Vera Schubner did the numbers. She did the math. And what she found was, in Australia, for example, 250,000 live births a year. They have 33,000 deaths of infants. This is babies dying, okay? These deaths are blamed on things like sudden infant death syndrome or crib death, or they are blamed on shaken baby syndrome. And as we know, there's a lot of parents in jail for shaken baby syndrome that wasn't shaken baby at all. So, I mean, this is a huge miscarriage of justice. But in the meantime, what we are tending to overlook is the fact that 15% of infants are dying in Australia. In the USA, it works out to about 10%. And Dr. Schubner said it's the single biggest cause of infant death. Now, then she goes on to say...
Is vaccines.
Single biggest cause of infant death. Now, I look at the FDA and I look at Health Canada and all these different health agencies around the world who are, by virtue of these ignorant trade groups that we have joined, which take precedence over our laws. And I want to make one point perfectly clear. These trade agreements, each and every one of them, not just the TPP, not just the TTIP, not just NAFTA, not just any one single agreement, all of them guarantee the profits and a level playing field for patented products and services. Among those, of course, are vaccines and other drugs. Okay, so these patented products are promised by our governments to be profitable in order to get the so-called investment. So they're putting profits over people, profits over our children, profits over our health, profits over our future. And when you add up all the facts, you see that this particular effort is the root of all evil. We're looking at a situation worldwide where children and their parents are being conned into taking vaccines, which are all toxic. Every one of them is toxic one way or another, some more so than others, guaranteed, but all of them have toxicity. And when you take a young, immature immune system and you jam a vaccine into the bloodstream of a baby, okay, you are bypassing all of the immune systems that that baby has. You are putting it into an area of the child that has no defenses. And as Dr. Scheibner points out, this is anaphylactic, not prophylactic. Anaphylactic means allergy. You've heard of anaphylactic shock. This is allergy. And it's not helping to protect against disease. Now, in order to justify that statement, take a look at Harvard. Okay, there's Harvard, and Harvard is one of those institutions that demands that all of their students have proper vaccination records before they come to school. Okay, wonderful. So now they have an outbreak of mumps at Harvard. Where did we see the reports of that? Did we see it in mainstream media? Did we see it on TV? Did we see it in the New York Times? Did we see it in the Toronto Star or in any of the Canadian papers? Did we see it anywhere? No. No. We saw it nowhere. Okay, so here's all this information that we need and should be paying attention to, and it's being silenced. Only Harvard itself came out with it. Now, fortunately, the rest of us alternative journalists, being very much aware that we're not going to find what we want in mainstream media, we go looking. And we find out that the Harvard paper has put it out that, guess what? All of these 40 of them, mumps victims, and these are essentially their adults because they're at university. They're fully grown human beings. They're not going to get much taller from there. And these kids are getting mumps after the MMR vaccine. We've got situations all over the place where we have measles outbreaks amongst the vaccinated. We had an outbreak in the northern U.S. A year or so ago, and 97% of those affected had been vaccinated. So what is that telling us? Vaccines create disease. Now, if you want to check out exactly who knew what, all you've got to do is read the ding-blasted package inserts. They're all listed. The side effects are all listed. They literally come out on paper and say, guess what? In the meantime, has anybody, I'd love to hear from people who went to a doctor who was that open as to show the package insert on a vaccine to anybody. In fact, I know of one particular case where I sent a friend of mine in undercover to look at the availability of package inserts, and she went to a pharmacy where they offered free flu shots. Well, we have them all over North America, don't we? Walgreens does it, and Rexall Pharmacy do it, and Shoppers Drug Mart in Canada, they all do it. They all have their little flu clinics. And she went up to the pharmacist and said, you know, I'm considering getting a flu shot. Oh, stepped right up. Well, she says, well, before I do that, I would like very much to see the package insert. Do you know what the response was from the pharmacist?
No.
We are not allowed to show you that. Okay? We are not allowed to show you the vaccine package insert, which, if you read it, would warn you about all of the side effects. Okay? Then when you go to vaccines that contain mercury, and there's a hell of a lot of them out there, far more than what they say. I mean, they were saying, you know, that they would scale back on the use of mercury. Well, they scaled back a teeny-weeny little bit, but we call it the sound man trick, okay? The sound man trick is if you go to a bar and you're listening to rock and roll music, and the bartender goes over to the sound man and says, could you turn it down? It's a little too loud in here. And the sound man says, sure, we'll turn it down, okay? And so what he does is he turns it up, okay? Then he asks the bartender, is that good enough? And the bartender usually will say, yeah, that's fine. And in fact, what they've done is they've upped the ante. So while we've got people saying in the scientific community, oh, yeah, well, we've knocked back on the mercury a bit, what do we really have? We have more mercury than ever before because we have more vaccines than ever before. They got vaccines, for God's sake. You know,
Could I make a comment about two things you said? One of them is the meningitis vaccine. The latest one, they removed the thimerosal. Guess what they replaced it with? E. coli.
What,
E. coli.
That's good.
The adjuvant. They're calling that an adjuvant. Okay, and then also you were talking about the free flu shots. I just want to insert at this point that Jane Burgermeister did a very short video with Crystal Meyer, a scientist from Germany, and she was saying that if you get the flu shot, you have increased your chance of showing a positive result on an HIV test.
Absolutely.
So think of the cash flow that's involved there and all the medications.
Oh, my God. There is a river of cash pushed by vaccines that people have no comprehension of. We're talking numbers of dollars here that people could not count in their lifetime one by one. You can't even conceive of the amount of money these people are making. It's a multi-billion-dollar, trillion-dollar industry worldwide. And then when you hear about, you know, all of these after effects, you know, you hear about 40,000 kids a year in India and Pakistan in particular, just after Bill Gates and his vaccine alliance go in there and say, oh, we're going to be good guys and fund your vaccinations. 40,000 kids come down with paralysis, and then they misname it so as to avoid culpability. Well, they know. I mean, come on. There's no way. In court, it would be called they knew or ought to have known. And when we go into what Dr. Scheibner also said, that doctors very widely are A, never taught, and B, refusing to know what these statistics are. Why? Why? She says that's culpable. I agree with her 100%. That's culpable negligence.
Yes.
It is. It's a crime against humanity. It's genocidal. And we are so conned as a population as to go along with it and say, but my doctor said I should. Really?
Right.
Well,
This is exciting because it gives us a way to sue them. They don't know what they're talking about. And if they don't know what they're talking about and have not done the research to learn it, this is our window of opportunity. However, I've got to tell you something because I am so incensed by this. You know, you know all the false campaigns, the Peace One Day, where everybody puts down their arms from fighting, and it turns out they run in and vaccinate over 1 million children on that day while the parents have put down their arms. There's a Red Nose Day, all about fun. Well, guess what it funds? They're raising money for it. It funds vaccines. Okay, now check this out, because I have supported PEPFAR International. And I've supported them because basically you raise money to give an animal to a family, and they live off the produce of the animal. If they have excess, they sell it. But now, oh my, and it's the first time I've seen this ad on television, now they're saying it will help them get the needed medicine. Uh-oh, third world,
yep.
Needed medicine, uh-oh. And this
who says it's needed?
Well, I'm just saying, they're saying that they're raising funds still to provide animals to families, and so they can sell it and raise money for the needed medication. And a third country needs one thing only, vaccines. So we have to investigate Heifer International and say, are you in any way associated with Gavi or UNICEF or Save the Children, Big Vaccinators too, because this is something I've supported. I give it as Christmas presents. I'm like, I gave a flock of ducks in your name to kids in Africa. I gave a tenth of a water buffalo to people in India, you know, in your name, and I'd give a picture of the animal that I bought in their name to help, not to hurt.
Yeah, well, you see, this is the thing. A couple of days ago, we had the pleasure of having Dr. Stephanie Seneff in Toronto, and I attended her lecture. But after I was at that lecture, I came back to my computer, which I had ignored for 2 days straight. And, of course, I found what you would find, a ton of email, half of which I can't even get to. But amongst the pile, there was one email that came to me I found very interesting. And it was pointing out exactly what you just pointed out, that except that it didn't deal specifically with vaccinations and, quote, needed, end quote, medicine. But what it said was, if you're very careful about how you look to the funding, the ownership, and the foundational people behind a lot of these so-called charities, what you find is that they go right up to the globalists. They go right up to George Soros. They go right up to different organizations that we know are not our friend. And so, consequently, groups like Avaaz, Move On, these different groups, they are all suspect, as they should have been. By God, they got big real quick, didn't they? You know?
What about change.org?
I don't trust them. I haven't, you know, read into a lot of these people, but I don't trust petitions in the first place unless I really know the people that are putting them out. And what I found is that a lot of these activities that they're asking us to participate in and that they're asking us to support and fund, essentially they're what I see as a double entendre, because they have two meanings. On the one hand, like you say, I'm donating a tenth of a water buffalo to a family with the intent of feeding them the good food and nutrition that would give them the immunity that they need against the diseases. And then these idiots are coming in and vaccinating and damaging all that good work. So there are ulterior motives afoot. And, you know, it even says in the Bible, beware of the false prophets. It says that in Revelations. It says it actually in a number of places throughout the Bible. But beware the false prophets. Well, why? Because they lie. That's why. And why do they lie? They lie to cover up their crimes. That's why people lie, is to cover up their crimes. There is no other reason for a lie. You're either going to offend someone with the truth, or you're going to hurt somebody with the truth, or you're going to damage somebody with the truth, so you lie. And that's what these people are doing.
Yourself, or you're going to hurt and damage yourself with the truth.
Well, we do that with our ego every day of the week. But, you know, aside from that, here are people who have a fiduciary trust with the people. They have an obligation to the people of the world, and I don't care what government they're in, unless they're under a complete tyranny. Well, I'm kind of choking on my tongue on saying that word, but unless they're under a complete tyranny, okay, these people are supposed to be there for our benefit, are they not? Well, if the FDA is not doing the proper testing on vaccines, as we know they are wont to do, and if Health Canada is not doing the proper testing, as we know they cannot do, because Canada sold off its state-of-the-art labs years ago, so they wouldn't be burdened with that little problem. And so they could turn around and say, well, Glaxo, make up your own surveys and send them to us and we'll approve you. Well,
the World Health Organization a couple of years ago came out with a statement that they will be doing no follow-up on their vaccine campaign. So they just exclude themselves from, basically reporting the devastation that they're causing with these vaccine campaigns.
Let me point out something about the World Health Organization. Do you know who their enforcer is? Because I do. The enforcer. No. It's the World Trade Organization. The World Trade Organization is the enforcement body of the World Health Organization, because they're all under the World Trade Organization. You know, it's not just the UN. We wish it were the UN. They're a little easier to deal with than the World Trade Organization, which is far dirtier. But you're dealing here with trade enforcement, because what they've got is this patent protection and profit protection of patented goods. And what people don't realize, I don't know if you've noticed, I sure have, that these mandatory vaccines are spreading all over the world, primarily in North America, South America. We've seen that Zika virus hoax, which was all crap, because that year they mandated pregnant women to get the MMR shot. Bingo, bango, they got microcephaly. What do they got in the States? 25,000 microcephaly cases per year, okay, but no Zika virus. So where's it coming from? Huh, guess what? MMR shot. Yet another side effect.
Well, actually, this is interesting. They have said that the DTaP is the one, and that's the one that Vera Scheibner was discussing. However,
yeah, I'm sorry. That's my mistake.
No, you haven't made a mistake. Surprise. A friend of mine who's an autism mother did research. Her name is Kara Taylor, and said when in Brazil you find out you are pregnant, that minute you are given an MMR vaccine.
Over my dead body. But it may turn out that way. My own grandson, my daughter and her husband live in Panama. And my own grandson got whooping cough from a child at his daycare that had just been vaccinated with the Tdap, okay? Or Dtap, whichever one you want to call it, same damn thing. But he came home with pertussis. And he was very, very ill. And we cured him overnight with a whopping dose of vitamin D3 in drops. We literally inundated him in D3. And in the morning, he woke up with no fever and no cough. So when you talk about the vitamin cures for these things, they are very powerful. The vitamin C is extremely powerful. Vitamin D3, again, very powerful. But then depending on what's in these damn shots, you may need chelation, you may need other forms of cleansing of the toxins out of the body. But the damage that is being done overall by the spread of disease, it says on the vaccine packages, okay, Now, wait till I get through this one, because this one makes me laugh, an evil laugh, let me tell you. They say right on the vaccine inserts that you should, after vaccination, stay away from young people, the already sick and the immune compromised, for a couple of weeks because you're going to be shedding live virus. Really? So what happens when you take a whack of healthcare workers, vaccinate them largely against their will, and send them into a hospital where everybody's immune compromised? Where's the logic there? You know, and then we find that they're legislating for, you remember the big stink about Obama's death care panels?
Yes.
The ones they said that didn't exist. Well, guess what? We've got a comparable bill in Canadian Parliament right now called Bill C-14, and they are mandating that physicians be allowed to assist in suicide, okay? But what they don't say is how they're going to protect people from the impact of doctors and nurses and other people having the deciding power to put to death who are sick and are becoming a burden on the system. Now, they don't designate. It's over 18. It's anybody over 18. So you're not talking about just the elderly who might be suffering. You're not talking about, and they include mental illness in that. So in other words, you can say, I'm depressed, kill me, right? Or they can say, that person is never going to come out of this depression, we better kill them. And this is called the Liverpool Care Pathway. It originated over in Europe a few years ago. It's been ongoing in our hospitals for a number of years now. And what they do is they withhold medication and they withhold food except for morphine. And within a few days, they're dead. We also know that if the elderly are in nursing homes, if they take flu shots 3 years in a row, by the end of the fourth year, most of them are dead. So, you know, what we're looking at here is not something simple. It is a crime, as Dr. Vera said. It is a culpable crime. The government certainly knew or ought to have known. The doctors didn't bother and refused to bother to educate themselves as to what's in these things. Yet, at the same time as they refused to educate themselves, funny enough, about 90% of them won't give the vaccines to their own families. They won't. And they won't take cancer treatments the same as the rest of us either. So they know. A lot of them know. And I ask myself, why would somebody who happens to be wearing a coat and has a shingle on the wall, why would that person take such activity under their wing and say, okay, I'll do that? Well, essentially, it's because the medical associations are forcing them. And the medical associations, of course, are following the orders of these federal health agencies. And the federal health agencies, right, this is a revolving door. Whatever the medical association says, the government will do. Whatever the government says, the medical associations will do. There's a revolving door between the FDA and Merck and Pfizer. We know that. They share employees like they share a drink or lunch. And it's just crazy that the culpability of these people is spreading. There seems to be a nest of them that either work for one or the other. And when you really think about it, what kind of people could sleep at night knowing what they know? And then you have Dr. William Thompson, okay? I was saying God bless William Thompson, and then I heard that the CDC had turned him because he still works there. And this is a guy who exposed the shredding of the documents that was talked about in the movie Vaxxed. And thank God for Del Bigtree, and thank God for that movie. And please, guys, bring it to Canada. God, do we ever need you. But essentially what that movie shows is that the CDC itself shredded the documents proving that young black boys have an over 300% increased risk of autism as opposed to other races. And Dr. Seneff has proven that within the next 10 to 15 years, what we're looking at is 50% of our children are going to be autistic because of vaccinations. And when and glyphosate and these other toxins, I mean, come on, we cannot say vaccines are the only thing, but man, are they huge. And what you're looking at is 80% of the boys and 50% overall being autistic within the next 10 years. Well, what happens to your society if 50% of your kids walk around hand flapping and with no eye contact and can't talk and can't this and can't that because they're autistic because they all got shots? What happens to your society? Do you even have one? And then we could go on, and this flabbergasts me completely. You've got, overall, you've got at least a 50% reduction in sperm count. These vaccines and meds are sterilizing people. They are sterilizing them and lowering the ability of the North American male and every other male in the world who takes vaccines to father children. What does that do? I mean, come on, men, don't you value your family jewels? You know, do you think because you can walk away after a shot that that's okay? Because apparently they do. And the ignorance out there is absolutely awe-striking. I'm gobsmacked by how ignorant people are and how adamant they are that they're right. And I say to them, what if you're wrong? Isn't it worth 20 minutes on the internet? Isn't your child's life worth that much of an investment that you would not spend 20 minutes to find out what a few people say who are very highly qualified, to see the lists of studies that have been done, scientific, peer-reviewed, double-blind studies done by very credible scientists like Dr. Seneff from MIT. She's a senior research scientist there. You know, she's no joke. Dr. Shiv Chopra, who came out of Health Canada, he saved our dairy industry from BGH hormone. Now under the trade group, guess what? It's being allowed in Canadian dairy imported from the States. So you see what these trade agreements are doing? They are tying everybody together. That word harmonization that we all heard back in the day 15 years ago when we started to fight the Codex Alimentarius Committee, again from the World Health Organization, that thing is not even complete yet. And I'm saying, hang on here. The thing isn't even perfectly drafted yet. You're all afraid of it, and yet you're ignoring the main factor here, which is how do they stranglehold the lot of us? How do they get the power? It isn't all our ignorance. It's contrived ignorance. It's not just, oh, people are apathetic. No, they're not. But they are denied the information. And then their informed consent is taken away because they've got all this trust in these guys with white coats. You know, well
please get to the really the meat of it, which is where you're saying that prove what? You're saying prove what to them?
Yeah.
Prove
I'm
what?
Saying prove the safety. Prove the safety. And the reason
no,
I'm
not
saying
the safety,
to,
you were
and,
saying
and,
the other day bigger than
the
safety,
mandate.
Than,
the mandate. Yeah. You're
yes,
talking about the mandate. Well here's the
that's
thing.
The
very quickly on that. What I've been doing over the last 5 years, we had Stephen Harper as a prime minister, which was that's another story. Now we've got Pierre Trudeau Light in his son Justin. And quite frankly, he's not a patch on his old man. But that's beside the point. The thing is that all of these entities are essentially following along, telling us that they're going to sign this agreement or that agreement, they're going to ratify this and ratify that. And I asked all these MPs, I asked the two justice ministers of Canada, health ministers, you name it, anybody I could get my hands on, and in Canada it's a little easier to grab onto an elected representative than it is in the States. But let me tell you, these guys, they mostly don't know that what has been happening is every time they sign an agreement, they're signing away more of our sovereignty, but they don't have a mandate in law. I've been asking, show me the damn mandate. If you're going to make these laws, if you're going to make us comply with them, if you're going to order our legislation according to what these groups offshore that we can't touch, we can't get at them, we don't elect them, we don't know who they are. If you're going to hand the right to legislate our laws to these people, you better have a law behind you that says you've got the right to do it. And you know what asking that question has got me? It's got me censored on the CBC forum. It's gotten my posts erased by a lot of different organizations that should have been shouting from the rooftops, hey, listen to this person. She and all these other people are saying the same thing, right? But they're not, and they don't have the mandate to do it. They don't have the mandate. Health Canada is practicing without a license. Okay, so is the FDA, technically speaking, because your states have control, as our provinces have control, over health care. So whoever gave them the idea they could mandate health things? It's not there, not constitutional. There's no legislation in either country. I've asked Karen Schoen. She's an expert on Agenda 21, just ran for state Congress in Florida, and she's an awesome woman. And I asked her, I said, Karen, look around. See if you can find a mandate. Ain't no mandate. Ain't no mandate in Canada. These guys are committing a treasonous act. And as Dr. Scheidner represented, this is criminal negligent homicide, genocide. They are refusing to learn. They're turning a deaf ear and a blind eye to everything. And why would they do that? Why would they do that? Well, we go back to the follow the money, right? You always follow the money. Well, in this case, the money trail isn't like breadcrumbs in a full forest. Okay, we're talking about a raging river of profit to follow. And it's not hard to follow either. It really isn't. And then you look at how many corrupt politicians are there who are taking money from PAC funds and everything else. How many corrupt doctors are there and corrupt pharma companies are there who are taking junkets to tropical islands on our nickel, okay, and basically doing so in order to indoctrinate medical professionals into doing what pharma wants. And then pharma leans on the government and says, we want you to do this because we're guaranteed profits. And if you don't, we're going to sue you. And Canada knows very well what happens when a trade group sues you, okay? Because we got nailed by UPS, United Parcel Service, sued Canada Post way back when, because Purolator Courier, which is a competition of delivery services in Canada, okay, is partially owned by Canada Post. Canada Post is a crown corporation, okay? Therefore, UPS said, you're supported by the government. That's not a level playing field. You know what it costs the taxpayer of Canada? $252 million. Okay, that was just the first one. This is how they put a chain around our ankles with these stupid trade agreements. They are criminal. They are illegal. And they empower companies like pharma and the biotech industry, they allow these people to come in and run roughshod over everybody's health, everybody's well-being, while picking the pocket of the average person. And this is exactly what's going on. And the sooner we wake up to that, and the sooner we go and see movies like Vaxxed and get our crap together, because, man, we are so ignorant. As populations, we are so dumbed down. And it makes me cry.
Do you remember about, I don't know, 5 years ago, there was a country that is known for its purity of water, and they, I don't know if it was Nestle, tried to steal their water, or maybe purchase their water, I'm not sure, and they said no. And they wound up with this tremendous lawsuit because they wouldn't either allow it to be taken or sold. They just said, no, it's ours, we're happy with it, go away. And they wound up with this tremendous lawsuit. This, I believe, is exactly what the TPP is all about.
Of course it is, but it's not just one of them, it's all of them. And it's not in the terms of the individual agreements. It's in the conditions of contract. The conditions are absolute secrecy, absolute protection, and essentially the country signing has to follow all of the rules, and if you don't follow those rules, you're in deep trouble. Now, it just so happens I know a woman here in Canada who was in Canada's Foreign Affairs Department for many years, okay, and this woman, Shelley Ann Clark was her name, she was on the committee negotiating the first Canada-U.S. Free Trade Agreement, which is back in 1987-88, she had to prepare 10 different packages for 10 different premiers, and each one was tailor-made, she says, in her book, The Sale of a Country. It was tailor-made so that they would know who leaked it if any of that information got out, and it was tailor-made to placate all the provincial premiers who were giving over their sovereignty in this regard to the higher level of government. Interestingly enough, there is something in our Constitution that says, guess what? And there's a Supreme Court ruling on it that says no level of government can pass off its responsibility to another level of government. I wonder if you have that same dictate within your American laws. Because, basically what it's saying is, guess what? The feds have no control over this. They signed an agreement that's illegal. It can't be ratified because the whole damn